Tithing is not sowing seed, because the tithe is not the seed. Tithing produces the seed.
God intended for you to prosper in any economic condition. Join Kenneth Copeland and his guest Frederick Price as they study the biblical principle of tithing. Find out how you can turn your situation around today on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord, thank you for putting up with all of us all these years and just blessing us anyway. And we just praise you for it. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness and insight by your Spirit into your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Dr. Frederick K.C. Price, I think you ought to tell everybody on earth what the K stands for.
Well, there are some things called privileged information.
Well, it's my privilege to obligate you to tell it. Because I'm proud of it.
Yeah, sounds like a threat to me. But I think people be surprised that K stands for Kenneth.
When I found that, I said, I knew something good about him.
Yeah.
I really, really appreciate what you're putting out on this broadcast, Brent. This is helping a lot of people.
Praise God.
You and I both had to come this way. Everybody does.
That's right.
But the beautiful part of God, he didn't create man and then decide what to do with him. He made his decision before there was ever any sin.
Right.
Before there ever was a devil, the Bible uses the phrase over and over, before the foundation of the world,
yep.
He blessed us with all blessings in heavenly places and so forth. And he never changes.
Never.
So Adam changed, but God didn't. So now I have found out that I'm blessed. I've found out about that I'm supposed to prosper. And now I've found out that I got the key to the door in my hand, but I'm still banging around in the dark trying to find the lock, stick that key in. And you mentioned this before we went on the air, that God has shown you ways to guard against and to train yourself not to spend that tithe, not to get it fouled up into where it doesn't need to be.
Right.
And this is, man, I'm telling you, this is as big a part once you find out that I'm supposed to be doing this,
right,
and I'm not supposed to be doing this, and I'm in a habit of doing what I'm not supposed to do, and I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to do. Those changes can come rough, particularly if you don't have somebody to help you and tell you how they did it.
Yeah. One of the issues that many, many people, Christians, deal with, I see it all the time as a pastor, of course, the same thing with you, how people, they don't realize what they're doing. They take the tithe because it's in their hand. You know, they have oversight over it, so there's nobody around there with a big stick to hit them in the head if they do something wrong with it. So it's the easiest thing in the world to take that tithe. I got to go to work, man. That tire just blew out. I don't have a spare. I got to get to work. I got to take this money. I'll pay it back later. So they steal the tithe, and what they don't realize is the moment they took that tithe, they took that red umbrella out of the picture,
yeah,
they're back on the curse.
Yep.
They're back on the curse.
Stepped out from under
the
protection of God. Yeah.
They didn't intend to do that, but that's what it amounts to. So over the years, the Lord showed me how to help people not steal that tithe. And it's tied in with another part of my assignment that God gave me to deal with people that are overweight. It's a tricky thing, and it's a sensitive thing, Man, I've been called everything. Do you know, you, if you watch television programs, particularly ministry programs, have you ever noticed if it's on a secular station, it'll have, before the program comes on, that this is not our opinion, this is the opinion of the person that's paid it. You know how that started? It started because of me. I had a lady to call our television station in Los Angeles, said I was a fat basher, and she wanted that program taken off the air. And they said, well, you can't do that. He's a sponsor. You pay for his own program. You can't take him off. So right after that, they started putting that disclaimer on there. Because it is a sensitive area with people that you know, that are overweight, and you know, and some of them, they want to change, but they don't know how to change, and they think you're trying to attack them. And that was a part of my assignment. I call it the garbage detail, but I don't mind because the pay is so good and the benefits are wonderful, to try to help people and to spur them, to get them mad enough to do something, as it were, about their situation. So he tied this in with the stealing of the tithe with the weight. The easiest thing in the world is to lose weight. Now, it's not easy to make up your mind to do it, but physically to do it, all you got to do is stop eating. Man, you have never heard of anybody dying of starvation at 350 pounds. It don't go that way. They're usually skin and bones. So all you got to do is stop eating. But diet programs, every time you turn around, there's a new diet program. And some people swear by this one. They did that one, didn't work, so forth and so on. But that's really not true. Every diet program works. You can lose weight doing anything that any diet program tells you. Losing weight is not the issue. Keeping it off is the issue. Now, how do you do that? The same way you keep from stealing the tithe. You have to change your mind about eating.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the tithing, you've got to change your mind about money. So, what's the tithe? 10%. So if I make $100 a week, then my tithe is $10. So I have $90 left. What most people do is they say, oh, I make $100, so they spend $100. Or they obligate themselves to the $100. Or they make $500 a week, and they obligate themselves, and they spend it, so they don't have any place to tithe. There's no way to tithe because they spend all the money. You have to change your mind about money. I don't make $100 a week. I only make $90 a week because that $10 belongs to God. So if you look at it that way, you will never steal God's money. If I get $1,000 a week, no, I do not have $1,000 to spend. I can't go and buy a car. I can't do whatever and obligate myself to $1,000 because I only have $900. That $100 belongs to God. And over time, if you change your mind about money and or about food, easiest thing in the world, lose the weight and keep it off.
You have to practice it.
You have to do it over and over and over again. Yeah. So if you do that, you'll never steal God's money.
And when somebody asks you, do you get the new job? Yeah, God bless me with that new job. How much does it pay more than the last one did? Oh, yeah, man. It's a good job. Well, if you don't mind telling me, how'd you get blessed? How much money you get? Now, here's your opportunity. Is it real or is it just some kind of mental gymnastic that you're messing around with? The real thing of it is you only make or receive 90% of that. So don't even include the 10 when you tell the person.
That's one way to look at it. Whatever it takes.
It ain't yours.
Whatever it takes.
And if it, and particularly until you get mentally accustomed to this, it
becomes a habit.
And then as you talk to God about it, call it His money. Lord, I'm thinking here. I'm praying over your tithe. What do you want me to do with your money? What do you got in mind here? Talk to Him all the time about what's His. Now, there are people that, and this is not a wrong thing, but it's not 100% scriptural. So, well, you know, everything belongs to Him. And now if you start thinking like that, then it ain't gonna be long. You're gonna be spending the tithe again too. But since it all belongs to Him, well, then No, the scripture has things to say about responsibility of ownership of things, money, and so forth.
Right.
Now, when you talk to Him and visit with Him about it, visit with him, just like you would with someone else, like your boss or with your wife. Say in your mind you have a household account. And you tell your wife, look, I don't mess that household account. I don't fool with that. You do that. Okay, well, and we're putting money in the household account. Baby, how much you got in your household account? Huh? Nah, it will never be our household account. It will always be her household account. Why? Because that's just mentally the way you're wired. Mm-hmm. And you need to rewire your thinking where the tithe is concerned. Now, you need to also rewire your thinking in that same line with my offerings are investments.
Exactly.
This is not, I just don't like the phrase to give away.
Right.
No, I give into.
Into. Plant seed in good ground.
I plant seed in good ground.
Good ground.
The harvest is already mine. It's there. Amen.
You got to be careful because, as you point out, even with the part that's yours, the 90%, you want to plant in good ground, so you got to examine where you give. You got to examine where you give. I don't give to everybody. And some people, they think I'm really hard. You know, it's not a matter of that. I am an investor. I am always looking for investment opportunities so that it can produce a return so I can have more to give and more money to support other projects. And there's some people I wouldn't give a dime to.
Mm-hmm.
I won't give them a dime. It's bad ground. I wouldn't take my money and flush it down the toilet, would you?
No.
Well, in giving it into certain people, it's like flushing it down the toilet. They're not good ground. And we're responsible for where we plant our seed. If we want to harvest, you got to put good seed in good ground.
I'm the same way about giving into a ministry, and the pastor or the head of that ministry, and I found out he's not a tither.
Mm-mm, I can't give into that.
No, I don't want to. No, man, he's a robber.
No, he's a robber, and you're a party to the crime. You're an accessory
after
the fact.
Yes, you are.
No, you can't. You can't do that. I don't do that. People ask me about needs. I know people have needs sometimes. You know, they're legitimate needs. But I always ask people so what's the issue here? And then come to find out, are you a tither? No. Well, this that I have, I got as a result of tithing. In other words, that was the windows of heaven blessing that came back to me. If I take that money and give it to you, I'm an accessory after the fact. Satan's going to arrest me just like he's arrested you.
Well, and I'm sowing into something that's cursed.
Exactly. So you got to be careful. And people, they don't understand. They think you're just hard-hearted. You don't want to give. It's not a matter. There's a law that operates in the universe called cause and effect. For every effect, there was a cause. If you poor, there's a reason why you poor. If you can't meet your obligation, there's a reason for that. I need to know what you're reading. You come into me and ask me about giving you something. I need to know what's been your game plan.
You just brought up something that we have to deal with right now. Because it is here. It's right in the face of everybody. If there ever was a generation in the United States of America that's guilty of this, it's our time. Where nobody takes responsibility for anything. I've seen it. I tell you what, they's out to get me. That's all it was to it. I mean, they fired me for no reason at all. Now, even if I'm the worst guy in the world, and I got up some morning and I decided I'm going to fire the guy just to watch him cry when he walks out the door, there is still, the scripture says, no curse causeless. It doesn't exist. Something is behind it. And the first thing you need, you just really need to develop this in your thinking. Something happens, unexpected. You got blindsided over something. What am I going to do now? Oh, God, what am I going to do? No, that doesn't need to be the time when you think that thought. The time to think that thought, what do I do now, is when you're spending time in the Word and you think, See, I train in flight simulators. We don't go out and crash airplanes to learn how they act. Yeah. But thank God for simulators. We can see every crash there is without crashing.
That's right.
So I'm at a higher level of efficiency than I ever was before there was simulators. My prayer closet is my life simulator. And train myself to think, now wait a minute, how come that went crosswise of me? Where's the key issue in it? My spiritual father, Oral Roberts, used to say, you know, there's a key issue, and it's not the obvious one. Mm-hmm. Dig till you find the key, and it'll unlock the whole thing. I'm thinking, now, how do I respond to that? Well, I need to respond in faith, I need to respond in love, and I need to respond according to the Word. I don't stop and think this way after I get hit between the eyes with something. You practice this.
Way of life.
You sit and you meditate on it. You think, Lord, help me with this. Prepare me to handle your tithe correctly and promptly and quickly. I don't want to wait until some financial blast has hit me before, and then I have to resist the temptation to do the wrong thing with the tithe. You ought to deal. It's the same thing with the pie and the cake and all of that. Deal with it in your prayer closet, and you won't have as much trouble with it at the table. So you're preparing. What do I do if suddenly a tragedy strikes? You go down on the inside, not on the outside. Stay in here. Stay God-minded all the time. You have to practice that. Oh, what am I going to... You're going to do the wrong thing 99 times out of 100 if you wait until that time comes.
Because you will not be responding, you will be reacting.
Boy, that's good. And that's what it is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's a reaction instead of response. Yeah. You respond by shutting your mouth, reach down in here, get the Word, and then speak, and practice it, practice it, practice it, practice it, practice it in your prayer closet, practice it driving down the road in your car. Well, I don't like to think about those things, Brother Copeland. I'm not talking about you thinking about them. I'm talking about you meditating on the Word and applying them then to life situations so that the devil can't make you sweat. Praise God. I'm glad I got that out.
That's good,
brother. Hallelujah.
That's good.
All right. Where are we here, Brother Fred?
Well, let's talk a little bit about investing in the gospel or giving for Jesus' sake. We talked about the tithe. The tithe is what I believe we owe. I don't give a tithe. I pay a tithe. But the offering, that's my choice. That's our choice. That 90% in under our purview. We can do whatever we want with it. We better be wise enough.
Now, your tithing will get to the place where it takes on the nature of giving because you're so anxious to do it.
Well, true.
But you have to build that responsibility in yourself before you'll ever get to that place.
True, true.
Yeah.
True. So, there's a couple of things I think is important to look at. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, because this is still a part of the how does God get the resources to us? How does he get the wealth to us? Well, obviously tithing, we've talked about that. But then on that 90%, and actually also too, I think is important for people to know that tithing is not sowing seed, because the tithe is not the seed. Tithing produces the seed, because you couldn't make the tithe the seed. Why? It doesn't belong to you. That's God's money.
Yeah.
I can't give or sow seed with your money as such. That's your money. I can only sow with what's mine. So my tithing, in terms of the obedience of following the Word of God and the windows of heaven blessing and all those things, but it is what produces seed. Then the seed is what I give.
Mm-hmm.
The tithe is what I pay. The seed is what I give. So how do I give so that there is a return? All right, Luke chapter 6, mm-hmm. very familiar. Verse 38, give, and it will be or shall be given to you. So the giving to you, the giving to you is sponsored by me starting the process by giving.
Yeah. That's the reason it's more blessed to give
exactly.
than it is to receive.
People say, that's
because
crazy.
Receiving don't put blessing into operation.
No.
Giving puts
does.
Receiving that's, into operation, doesn't it?
There it is. Yeah, people get, they say, oh, that don't make sense. You're right. It don't make sense. It makes faith.
Oh, that's good, man.
It doesn't make sense. It makes faith.
And then in turn, faith makes good sense.
There it is.
Because it's God's sense.
Exactly yeah. right. Exactly.
Yes,
it's more blessed to
yes,
give than it is
sir.
To receive simply because it's the giving that causes the receiving.
I think that was the reason, well, I know it was, why it was so important in the very beginning days of this, back when we were so strapped, that our whole concept had to be changed.
Absolutely.
Everything I knew about it was wrong. And yet, it's very, very simple when you do what God does and you put it in the light of a seed.
Yeah.
You don't... It's a revolving, ever-growing... I love the title of your ministry ever since I've known you. Ever-increasing faith. And that's what it is. It's ever-increasing, ever on the move, ever-increasing. So, and it starts with the giving.
The giving.
So God dealt with me, and my first word, well, how can I give when I don't have anything? I couldn't get anything out of him much. And then I realized, oh, I see. I got to give something. If it ain't nothing but a polished rock, man, I saw this work on the Navajo Indian Reservation back in the 70s when Pastor Kenneth Bagishi invited Jerry Savelle and me out to do their first faith conference out there on the Navajo Reservation. And he said, Brother Copeland, when we receive an offering, he said, we invite the people to bring their offering to the altar. So we did that. And I was watching what they were bringing. Little small, really beautiful, colored, polished pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
Out there in that desert, they'd find those colored stones and polish them and work them, you know. And all kinds of things. Somebody had a shirt. Obviously, it was a used shirt, but it was clean and starched. That thing would have stood up by itself. It was so good. Now, when he came in there, there wasn't a car in that whole countryside. Everybody was poor. By the time I got there, everybody had either a car or a pickup, and people are believing God right out in the middle of the desert out there where there wasn't anything. But they didn't wait until God did something. They started it. The money is not the object with God. It's your insides. And we're out of time.
Oh, boy.
Brother Fred, I'll be back in just a moment.
In these economic times, are we as Christians supposed to prosper? The answer is yes. The Word says that you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. God knows what lies ahead, and He has given everything we need to see us through to victory. He wants us to prosper in every area of our lives, and that includes our finances. Frederick Price has written a powerful book, Prosperity, Good News for God's People. This book gives sound biblical advice concerning God's plan for us to prosper.
There are no quick fixes as such, other than fixing your mind.
Do you know the difference between the world's prosperity system and God's prosperity system?
Hey, it isn't over. You get a hold of God's Word and you press in there, praise God.
Prosperity, good news for God's people. To order your copy of Prosperity, Good News for God's People by Frederick Price, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This dynamic new book reveals God's design and purpose for increase and is now available for just $15. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Or you may write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
Now you're beginning to see why I just make such a thing out of getting your hands on Brother Fred's new book, Prosperity, Good News for God's People. Why? But, well, all the details are in here. The very things that we're talking about and getting involved in, you can't cover them in detail like you can in a book like this. So get hold of it. Go to Brother Fred's website. Dig in there. Get hold of these things. I mean, this is life, and you're finding out about it, a lot of you, right in the middle of a financial hurricane. You find out these things right in the middle of getting some bad word from a doctor or something. Hey, it isn't over. You get a hold of God's Word and you press in there, praise God, and it will work. Like Brother Fred said, it doesn't work overnight, but it'll start tonight, praise God. And it will, as long as you keep it working, it'll continue to work. And it will work a whole lot quicker than you ever dreamed it would. But you have to make the decisions and start. Now, that brings me to this. First of all, you get into the church that God has planned for you. Not just because it's close to the house, not because your parents went there, not... You pray and you go get in the church that God has for you. I don't care if it's halfway around the world, because that's where your prosperity is. That's where your life is. That's where your protection is, praise God. You pray about it and you go get in there. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Get in the meeting. We're going to be in Australia here in a few days. In the month of May, and you need to be there and be in it, and we got to go, and we'll see you tomorrow. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase a copy of this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales. Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Center at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elk Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland. To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.